Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rap Shit Season 1 is over, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. This is The Connect, y'all, and we are back. The Connect on Post Show Recaps is here. It's me, Chappelle, and I am so excited to talk to you about this show, which, you know, the streets have been buzzing about for a while. It kind of died down a little bit, but Season 2 is upon us, and I am ready to get into all the ins and outs of Rap Shit. And with me, you know, because this is The Connect, I do need my fellow plugs with me. Latanya's not here this time, but of course we have the strongest connect of them all, Mari. Mari Forth, what's up?
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to talk about this absolutely just amazing show. I'm glad to maybe introduce a lot of our listeners to this show. And I'm just glad that this is such a timely show for what's going on right now.
Oh yeah, how do you feel? Why do you say that?
Because for those who don't know, Rap Shit is about a female rap duo basically trying to make it out of Miami. And I mean, we are literally in the boom of a renaissance of great female rappers right now, and it is just so funny. It's like, did Issa Rae predict this? I think Issa Rae is, like, you know, she can see the future.
Oh yeah, Issa Rae is my president. I also hear that she's the Barbie president as well. All shout outs to Issa Rae. Yes, Mari is correct. This is a great show to be talking about at this time, because Rap Shit is going to talk about the lives of some up and coming female rappers, and we see that they are making such big waves in the music industry right now. Also, you all know here on The Connect, we've talked to you before about Issa Rae in her other works with Insecure. And so this feels like the natural progression to what we should be talking about now, because we love to give Issa Rae our flowers, but we also want to keep you people who listen to The Connect fed. And so this will be the next main course. Mari, first and foremost, I loved talking about Insecure with you. I am so happy that it's on Netflix. I feel like we opened the Post Show Recap world up to Issa Rae and all her greatness. Have you been peeking at some of the online discourse about Insecure now that we're not talking about it anymore?
I have. I'm honestly kind of shocked how many people are just now discovering Insecure because it's on Netflix, but you can't discredit the Netflix effect. Like, we saw it with Survivor coming to Netflix. You see it with so many other older shows coming to Netflix. Insecure is almost in a double, like, coming of, like, I see all these clips of Insecure stuff that we've been seeing that people are reacting to, like, oh my God, maybe I need to go and finish watching the show. And oh my gosh. And I'm like, yo, anybody out there, if you are now finally watching Insecure, if you are finally on the Insecure train, go back and listen to our Insecure coverage. We covered the last season 5 of Insecure episode by episode, but we also did a quick recap of the previous 4 seasons as well. So if you're just now falling in love with that wonderful show, definitely go and listen to us talk about it.
Yeah, this timing is impeccable, because Insecure is on Netflix, and this is the perfect promotion for what is going to come soon. Because as we know, Rap Shit premieres on August 10th of this year. So that means it's right around the corner. So while people got Issa Rae on the mind, this is the perfect time to introduce them to another one of her works and something that we really enjoyed watching. And so we might as well just get into it. How about that?
Please, let's do it.
All right. So Rap Shit, you will see it spelled out with an exclamation point instead of an I, but it's still Rap Shit, is Issa Rae's newest comedy, series for HBO that has, like I said, it had the streets buzzing for a while. I mean, it was such a good, refreshing change from Insecure, because Insecure was a very specific type of show, right? And I think people have called it the great coming of age tale. Millennials are latched onto it. People who are just becoming, around that age are all latching onto it. But Rap Shit is very, very specific. This is the tale of what some would call the tale of the City Girls. Mario, do I have that correct?
Yeah. It's like loosely inspired by the City Girls. I do know that JT and Krisha are credited as executive producers on that. Okay. I do know a lot of the staff or the writing staff come from Miami. Most famously known, Kid Fury of The Read is in the writer's room as well. So this is almost a completely different take from Insecure. It's a whole different world, and I just love it. You know what I'm saying? I love being exposed to different Black experiences and people who may not have necessarily connected with Insecure, may not have had that same lived experience as Molly and Issa, might be able to see themselves in Shauna and Mia. So I'm so excited.
Yeah. This is where Insecure kind of felt like it could have been Issa Rae's story. Like Issa Rae might have been talking about her own experiences or a lot of lived experiences of a lot of Black women around that age, and even telling the stories of Black men as well. This feels like the story of the City Girls, and I love the City Girls. Oh my God, I am not like some City Girl staying at home, like knowing all the lyrics. Every now and then, some lyrics will slip into my brain, but there is nobody funnier in this world than that pair of women. I mean, JT and Young Miami, Carisha, please.
Or the other way. Yeah,
they are so funny. They're so entertaining, and they are very talented. And this show is going to kind of give us a back story or a look back at their early beginnings, right? And so, in this story, the two City Girls are going to be portrayed by are going to be personified in Shauna Clark and Mia Knight. So Shauna Clark is a rapper, a conscious rapper, that she has her backpack on very tight. You know, she's rapping about, she's rapping above our heads. Like you have to be tapped in to know what she's talking about. Like you're not educated enough. Your eyes not open wide enough to know what she's talking about. Mario, first of all, that discourse is so tired to me. It is so tired to me.
Yes, but it's so funny because it's with female rappers, I love how, especially in the pilot, they emphasize how it feels female rap is so different from men rap, male rappers, only because female rappers tend to be pigeonholed. They tend to have to rap about certain things in certain ways in order to be commercializable. And you say that, but also you have the people who try and push back, like Shauna, for instance, who is a conscientious rapper. We find out that Shauna, the character, actually blew up 2 years prior during the protest. This is set in real time. So she basically had the anthem of the protest, the pandemic, and then she falls off. And I love it. This whole first interaction that we see personifies this discourse here, because this guy comes up to her, he's like, "Hey, you look familiar." And he's like, "Oh yeah, you had the song of the protest. Oh my God, I love that stuff. I love female rappers like you." He's like, "Why'd you fall off? Why?" And she's like, "No, I'm still doing the same thing." And she shows him her stuff. And he's like, yeah, you on that queen stuff. If I have daughters, I want them to listen to you. Like, it's that same oh, we want women to rap about stuff to respect themselves and be conscious. But then nobody listens to that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The discourse is so wonky, man. It is so wonky.
Yeah, the storyline for me, Mari, has run stale. It just has. I'm sorry. Let women do what they want to do. Let them do what they want to do. It's not like, oh, my daughter can only listen to this conscious rap. You don't even listen to that conscious rap. And then it's like, and if you do like that conscious rap, but don't look down on other women for not making that type of rap. You know, listen, it does not matter how smart you are, how many degrees you are allowed to enjoy things, you know? And that is going to be a big theme throughout this show is that Shauna, her character, who I'm assuming she is the JT of the pair, she has a talent, a real skill as a rapper, right? Like we've seen her doing her best work when she had the song of the protest, when she's got her mask on and she's making her videos and stuff. And she really wants people to hear her voice. And she struggles with that throughout because although she's making a move into a more mainstream rap career, we'll see throughout the series that she starts to question, you know, her message. Should she be rapping like this? Is this what she should be pushing? Or do people even take her seriously as a musician now that she's rapping in a more, a different realm, I guess I should say, a less conscious realm. And so that's kind of where we meet Shauna. But like I said, she's probably the JT, because no disrespect to Carisha, but Carisha is not the strongest rapper in the City Girls duo. Mari, I know you've seen the discourse back in the day about how, you know, Carisha sometimes be off beat a little bit, Young Miami.
Sometimes.
I mean, listen, I think that's the appeal. I think that, like, that's what makes it funny. Are you Young Miami? You're not coming in? Like, I'm like, yes! Go on. You know? That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Carisha is not the strongest when it comes to, but that this is her avatar, Mia, we're talking about now, right?
Yes, yes. And we get Mia in the version of, like I said, this is very much like a caricature of Carisha. But Mia is living the city girl lifestyle that we've come to know in popular culture, right? She's like a working mom, of course, and she has like her own bills and stuff like that she deals with. But she also really wants to talk about things that empower women in a different way, right? Like, so rather than saying like, oh, I don't want to be, you know, objectified, or I don't want to be looked at in a certain way, or I don't want people to judge me, so I'm going to act a certain way. She said, no, this is who I am, and I should be proud of what I am. I'm a baddie, so I'm going to be a baddie. I like to do nice things, so I want to flaunt those nice things. She likes dudes, and she likes dudes with money, and that's what she wants, and that's what she wants to celebrate. And there's nothing wrong with that, but as we both know, society kind of looks at that like, oh, this woman, she's a gold digger, or maybe she just doesn't want to do the work. She doesn't want to, she doesn't want to be respectable. She just wants people to hand her stuff. And so Mia's character is dealing with a very interesting battle, because I don't think she sees a problem with any of that, but I know society does, Mari.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, for her, from what I get from her, is like, her life is pretty hard, you know. We know that she's working three jobs to support her daughter, who she is, we'll talk about it, but she is a single mom, you know. Her baby daddy Lamont is kind of in and out of the picture. And for her, she doesn't really want, she's one of those people who doesn't want to talk about the struggle. She wants to like talk about things that make her happy. She wants to like kind of rap about stuff that people dream about, and that's okay. You know, that's how some people deal with their struggles. Shauna is also struggling, but she wants to like kind of bring light to the struggle and talk about how capitalism is unfair, you know, like all that. But Mia just wants to kind of, you know, mess around, shake her ass, and talk about dudes spending money on her, and that's okay, you know. And I like the duality of both of them.
Yeah, both these things can be true at once, right? Like, again, we can't force people into one bubble, and we're going to see both those bubbles collide, because we know that Shauna and Mia were actually friends back when they were in high school, I believe. And so in this series, we've jumped a lot forward to the point where Shauna is now working at a hotel after moving back to Miami. And so while Shauna is working at a hotel but being a conscious rapper, she's also scamming. She's a scammer. And this culture right here has become a culture in and of itself. The idea that I don't have, so I'm gonna make a way by any means necessary, and if that means getting over on the system, then it's okay. I'm not saying I agree with that, but there are arguments to be made on both sides, and I think we're going to explore them a lot here. But it's very interesting to see that Shauna, someone who is touting herself as someone who is conscious, who is doing something that's above board, who's kind of like holding herself to a certain standard, is still out here getting how she live, right? And then we're supposed to look at Mia, who is a social media influencer slash sex worker, you know, and be like, oh my God, what you're doing is so scandalous. But here it is, our conscious queen, you know, literally stealing from people. So Mari, in rap shit, we have to handle both of those things at the same time. We have to be able to hold in our hands that neither one of these women is perfect, but they're both our protagonists in this series. How did you feel about the juxtaposition of those two?
I think it's clear the antagonist here is capitalism.
Yes, like, that part.
Poverty. That is right. That White is the antagonism.
Boom. You know. Yeah, like, let's get into it.
Like at this point, both of them are just trying to make ends meet, and you know, like Anna decides that she wants to use credit card fraud and taking people's credit card information and selling it and stuff like that to get herself out of her poverty. Meanwhile, Mia is a cam girl sex worker for a spicy site. And it just, again, it just shows you that people shouldn't have to be fighting this hard to make a decent living, you know? And I am not going to sit here and judge people for it, because it is this, you know, it is the system, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the system that is forcing people to go to these lengths. And so they're both dealing with that, and then they kind of trip and fall into the rap game together, and they're like, well, maybe we can make this our legitimate, you know, business and form of money. And you know, it makes you want to root for them. It makes you want to root for their success.
Yeah. They go from living their normal lives to seducing and scheming. And this actually is a moment that is mirrored. Yes, it is. You know, this is actually a moment that is mirrored directly from the City Girls. You know, the City Girls, JT and Carisha, they actually had done a freestyle over, or they had done a song over Kaya's My Neck, My Back. And it got thousands of plays. And then that kind of launched them into stardom after they had dropped their like their first diss track, basically. And so this happens here. We have Seducing Scheme, which takes off, and it launches these two women into relative fame, right? They start to get a little bit of notoriety, but they still have to navigate the rap game. Before we continue with that part, I do just want to give a shout out to these two actresses, actors, Chameleon and Ada Osman. I was not familiar with their work prior to this. I'd never seen them act in anything else to my knowledge, but Mari, seeing both of them,
I think they're both relatively new.
Yeah, both relatively new. Ada Osman is a non-binary actor. They use she, they pronouns, and so I'll probably just use she or they interchangeably, but she was a writer and a stand-up comedian, right? So she did Big Mouth, she did Betty, and she's writing on rap shit. Yeah, she's writing on rap shit as well, right? And then Chameleon is a rapper, singer, songwriter, and people might have known her from Love & Hip Hop Miami. And so you really do have this merger of these two people that I never would have saw coming, but I thoroughly enjoyed them in this role. We also get a star-studded cast with other people who are, like I said, I won't say relatively unknown, but definitely people who, as you might know them in different realms, you might know them in smaller realms, but I really do think bringing all of these characters together and all these actors and actresses together really does highlight the show in a way that I just couldn't have foreseen coming. I won't say we don't get a lot of Black prestige television, but I don't think a lot of Black television is given the chance to be prestige because of the subject matter. And so I appreciate this for them as well, Mari.
No, completely. We talk about it all the time. We've talked about it on our Snowfall coverage. We've talked about it on our Atlanta coverage. It's like shows that are Black prestige shows don't get the coverage. They don't get their marketing. And sometimes they're just not seen as that just because they're pitched as niche television, when honestly anybody can watch any of those shows that I've mentioned not being Black and still connect to something what's going on or still find something entertaining but you know, we're, our shows are often pigeonholed and put into little boxes. So I really appreciate Rap Shit for opening doors and sharing stories that even me as a Black person, you know, might not have experienced, but it's kind of learning through this.
Right, right. Again, we say it all the time, Black folk, we are not a monolith. Exactly. There are different aspects to us. And so there's so much to learn and to watch when you see these new shows pop up or these shows that might not, they might feel like they're so outside of your comfort zone and stuff. But if you just give them a chance, there's no telling what you might take from that show or what you might find out that you enjoy or even what good stories or what talents you might have been missing out had you not taken that that leap. So before we get into all the new talents and stuff like that, the storylines and kind of wrap up season one, let's go ahead and take an ad break right here. And we'll be right back to talk about Rap Shit season one and to prepare for season two right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. So I talked about this being like a very talented cast of people, but I do want to kind of touch on some of the names that we're going to come across throughout season one. And I do think we should start off with Chastity. Mari, Chastity, the party promoter who goes by Duke of Miami or simply Duke, is such an interesting character to me. She's played by Jonica Booth, who I'd never heard of before, but I mean, I think this lady is acting her ass off as this role. It is so believable. Everything about it does not feel like you're watching an actor, Mari. Not for me.
Exactly. And I was like, her face looked so familiar too. I was like, oh my God, she has one of those faces where you think she's been in everything, yes, but then when you look her up, she hasn't. And you're like, wait, what? She kind of reminds me of, I want to say the actress's name is Mia Nelson, the one from Best Man.
Yes.
Best Man.
Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the actress's name, Mia Nelson.
No.
But anyways.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. Anyways, whatever. But my biggest thing is like the Duke of Miami is such an interesting character. She is a plug who is a pimp, who is a drug dealer turned rap duo manager. It's such a good character. And it's one of those characters, like, again, like you might know these people. You know, you might know the person who's hanging out. They say that they know this person, that person, that person, but they don't. But they make it work. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's another person grinding. It's another perspective of trying to make it. And yeah, we get a lot of her backstory later on. We find out that, like, she kind of comes from a family of pimps.
It's in the blood for sure.
So it's really interesting, and she does a great job of like trying to get the duo to the right places, get them gigs and stuff like that, because you do need that. Even if you're an up-and-comer, you need managers, you need people you can trust, you know. And you know, I'm interested to see where it goes. She's kind of like the Urn in this if we're comparing it to Atlanta, she's Earned.
She really is.
With more flair.
She's Earned with way more personality. I that is such a good comparison, because Earn is definitely somebody who had no business doing the job that he was doing, right? We saw him basically try to take himself out of poverty by managing someone else's talents and being trying to be that person who could talk this way into rooms and to talk you into deals and stuff like that. And Chastity is no different. The only difference here, I think, between Chastity and Earn that I see is that Chastity's is so much more believable. It just feels so real that this person who was in over her head is she's acting so well to where you can see the look on her face where I'm about to lie to get my way into this room. And also like I'm about to lie. They can tell I'm lying and I know they can tell, but I'm gonna push through. You can see all of that on her face in every scene. She's, as Mari said, the manager of a sex, of a group of sex workers, if you will, a pimp, some would say. And she don't even have control over that. And you see her kind of growing into that person because her pimp hand is not strong in the beginning. Chastity is trying to, she's trying a management technique, which is more like a servant leadership. Like, I'll do these things for you. and you will appreciate them. And though you will act right for me, you know? And, you know, for from a management standpoint, cool. You know, that's a good leadership style, Chastity. But from a pimping standpoint, it's not, not the so move. Right. And as you said, we see her dad, who is a pimp proper, right? He is he is the pimp before her. He tells her, no, they don't take you seriously. They out here looking at you like a joke because you're not laying down the law. He said, you got to put your thing on the table sometime and let them know what it is. And so she really internalizes that and starts to take more control of her career as a manager and as a pimp and starts to put her foot down in situations where she normally wouldn't have. We saw that Shauna and Mia basically have to, as these up-and-coming rappers, have to decide if they want to let Chastity be their manager. And while Mia is down to uplift her friends and family and stuff like that, Shauna has good sense. And she can tell Chastity is not all that she says she is, does not have a lot of the pull that she says she does. But once Chastity decides to put her foot down, it really does reel these two women in and say, oh no, we are a thing now, we are a group, and this is going to happen. So I am very fascinated by Chastity, the character. I would love to see Jonica Booth in other things now because she is killing this role. It feels like a role like that ain't her acting. That's just her in real life, even though based on what I've seen, she's a very multifaceted lady. And so I would love to see more of this. But that's one of my favorite storylines, Mari, the growth narrative of Chastity and what she looks like as the manager of this new City Girls duo.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if Shauna's distrust of Chastity is well, Chastity does be like kind of dicking around a little bit, but like also, you know, her experience with I'm sure the person we might talk about next, her former producer. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think Shauna is just really Shauna kind of dipped her toe into the music industry and got burned. And I think she's just hyper vigilant that she doesn't want it to happen again.
Right, right. And but anybody with eyes can tell you that Chastity don't know what she's doing, right?
That's true.
but you do bring up a good point. We do know that Shauna has attempted this before. She has attempted to be a serious rapper, in her words. She had a friend named, is it Francois? Portrayed by Jabuki Young White.
Yes, Jabuki
is hilarious.
Every time he pops up in something, I audibly gasp every time and crack up.
That's got to be like a top five funniest human on earth, you know. And I consider myself a decently funny person. That man is he is different. They don't make funny people like Jabuki. If you've ever seen Jabuki on Twitter, no, you didn't, because that man's Twitter account could be anybody today. A literal menace. But here he plays Francois Boom, who was kind of in a position to be Shauna's producer slash manager. And then he went in another direction. He actually kind of made it big by promoting the career of someone else who... is a white lady who is rapping in a very not white fashion. And I'll say that not to say white people are a monolith, but we see what this woman doing. She got the black scent on strong and he is riding her wave all the way into stardom and leaving someone like Shauna, this conscious rapper, behind. And so we'll see that Shauna has to struggle with that. What did you think about Jabuki in this role, Mari?
I thought it was very like he brings like a funniness to the role, but I think I love the dynamic between them and how we slowly unfurl like what happened. Like Shauna basically was on track to have this like this on track life, like go to college, graduate college, maybe go to law school. You know, she had her man, they were going to be Obama and Michelle. And, you know, somewhere along the line, she realized like she was really good at rapping. And Jabuki's character, Francois, I think they met in school. They made music together in school. He was a producer. His beats were the ones that got like picked up first. He wanted to bring her along with him, and slowly, what happens with a lot of artists is they might be signed or almost signed, or they're doing work for other artists on the label, and it just didn't pan out because she wanted to stick to the style of rapping that she wanted to do. And he was trying to tell her it's not profitable. People aren't listening. And they slowly drifted apart until he decided to go a completely different direction. And because he did go a completely different direction, he is now a rising star. From what we're told, he is on the come up with this other artist. At the beginning. And it's just so interesting. And Shauna is just left to pick up the pieces because she now has no music career. She's not in school anymore. And she's now back in Miami working at a hotel while her life that she thought she was going to have is still up there in New York. Her boyfriend's still up there in New York. She's, afraid that, he's cheating and stuff like that. So Shauna just wakes up, from what we understand, she wakes up not even realizing where her life is at. And she has to then watch Francois through Instagram burning thousands of dollars because he can make it all back. Francois is such a funny character.
He is, and he is promoting his artist Raina Rain, I believe is her name.
Yeah, Raina Rain, yep.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar. Raina
Rain, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got your grandma's city girl greens. right. She got the city girl persona down pat. And Shauna's looking at this like, I could do that. Literally anybody could do that, at least in her mind. And so she's judging him for one, leaving her behind, but also for using this white lady as a way to springboard his career in a world where Shauna could have easily been Raina Rain if she wanted to be, at least from her perspective. Right.
That song Tongue was a bop though. I'm not gonna
look, normally. Look, you're not going to get a lot of this from me, but normally when these people from outside communities do decide to appropriate, they be on. People
except
hate
for the Australian. I refuse to give her her
Fancy was a bop.
Kudos for that.
Do that. Did you watch that? Fancy was a bop. Baby, I knew this. I thought that you knew this.
I will never forgive T.I. for that.
Look, that's not even the egregious one. Have you ever heard of Veronica Vega?
Her name sounds familiar.
She's from Love and Hip Hop or something like that, right?
Not the one who says she's from Hialeah.
I think so.
Oh God, from Love and Hip Hop.
She got that song. Pay me, don't bullshit me. Pay me. I was like, wait, she's dropping a lot of N-words on this song, and they the N-words. Look, we're gonna watch the video after this. I'm telling y'all, look, Veronica Vega, pay me. Don't click it, don't give it a stream, but also just know this is a foolish white lady. Anyway, that being said, there's a lot of that going on in the music industry, and so we see that Shauna is a almost like a victim to some of that, with her interaction with her manager Francois. So we'll have much more of that to come because we see by the end of the series, our city girls, Mia and Shauna, have linked up with Raina Rain. They have decided if you can't beat them, join them. Mari, season two, what's coming?
I just can't wait for that. Raina Rain finds herself in some hot water because she's at a photo shoot without Francois, and the photographer is just he's filming a video, and he's like, yeah, just talk yo, and she has run out. She's like the robot that's run out of black phrases. She has forgotten all her AAVE. She's all up. And so she clearly, it basically exposes that she don't know what she's talking about. And because of that, her and Francois are panicking because you know, she's being exposed for the fraud that she is. And I think what happens is they figure out that if Raina Rain and Seduce and Scheme hook up and go on tour, then it can be mutually beneficial for all parties involved. And I cannot wait to see what shenanigans that's going to cause in season two. Like, I just cannot wait.
It's gonna be foolish, but yeah, that's a great thing for our main characters. If the City Girls are gonna take off, they can definitely use Raina Rain's clout as a way to get to the next level. But they do have some things that are standing in their way. We know that, unbeknownst to Mia, Shauna has planned on moving away. She had planned on moving to New York to be with her boyfriend Cliff. Now, this is a storyline that I thought was over. And by the end of the series, I mean the season, I'm thinking, oh no, it's not over. It's never over. Like, life be life, man. So she finds herself falling back into the arms of her now ex, Cliff, in a way. So the story is that Shauna goes to link up with Cliff, and things are not going well. They've been doing a long-distance relationship while he's in New York, and he is very much displeased with that, right? So she goes to pop up on him and visit, and the visit does not go well. There's a moment where she comes across a rapper. I don't remember which rapper it was, Mari. Who was it?
It wasn't Brent Faiyaz, was it?
Okay, okay, I almost said Ty Dolla Sign because I know Issa Rae like to just throw Ty Dolla Sign into random scenes. Yeah. But it was Brent Faiyaz. She comes across Brent Faiyaz. She's very much networking, and this is her job. She's trying to be a rapper. And so she's networking. And Brent Faiyaz might be flirting a little bit. He might be a little bit. It's not over. But yeah, I feel like if I'm dude standing next to them, I'm probably thinking, okay, y'all flirting a little bit. And he does not take this well. Cliff decides to go get drunk, and then to very publicly break up with Mia on Instagram Live or you know, TikTok Live or whatever the case may be. Public breakup embarrasses this woman all over the internet, this, that, and other. And so you think that this relationship is through. We think that she's going to move on. We know she has another love interest. I'm sorry, Shauna's love interest. We know that there is a thing out there that she could do. But by the end, we see her basically sending a "I miss you" text message to Cliff. Mark, what do you think about this storyline between Shauna and Cliff? And how come we're going to be stuck with this for a little bit longer?
I cannot believe that she would want, like, he embarrassed her on his internet, like, completely on the internet, calling her all sorts of, like, you know, he called her a sellout. He basically said she's busting it wide open, you know, to become a rapper and stuff like that. Paraphrasing. And I can't believe she's even, like, she was even considering, like, getting back with him. It's just, like, he clearly never believed in her, almost. You know what I'm saying? It's like, she had said she was going to leave school to become a rapper. And, you know, maybe it is the whole that it's a different style and stuff like that, but is he's clearly not man enough to take his girlfriend being, like, you know, a rapper. And I think he even says at one point, like, he wants to be Obama. He doesn't want to be married to, like, a stripper or something like that. It's like, which is, again, she's not a stripper, but the equation of two is just, like, it's just horrendous. But we're gonna keep seeing this, because Issa loves a good toxic love story, doesn't she?
What? She gonna keep this man around as long as possible. First of all, the actor is Devin Terrell, who, I don't know if you know this, but he played young Obama in the film Barry.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played young Obama, but he's also Australian.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. So that said, he was born in the US but lived a long life in Australia before coming back. I'll say that. Definitely a different layer to this character than I was expecting, but he's very good in his role, and that it's very believable that he is the type of person to not be okay with this, right? He very much props up the idea of, I'm good with you being a rapper as long as it's conscious, mm-hmm. right? As long as you're rapping about something positive that doesn't make me look some type of way mm-hmm. when I'm with you, right? It doesn't make me embarrassed yeah. or, you know, whatever. Like you said, he's not really secure enough to deal with that kind of attention. And it shows. And like I said, when he finally has his big moment and they have their breakup publicly on Instagram Live, I was like, oh, thank God. Ugh. I am sick of this dude. You know, like I was like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. We out of here. Never look back. But again, that's what Issa be doing. Issa gonna drag us back to this one. And so by the end, although it looked like she had moved on to someone else.
To Maurice.
To Maurice. She is still sending these text messages. So let's go ahead and talk about Maurice. Mm-hmm. Maurice is the Haitian homeboy who works with her. And they seem like it's one of those, they are friends because they have to. You know, mm-hmm. she's in a relationship and he is her coworker, and so he is very much shooting his shot, waiting on her to slip up. He's like, eventually you're gonna start to like me and I'm just gonna keep shooting. And she's like, stop, boy, stop, you're crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a playful shot. It's like he just throwing him up and right. then when he's like, oh, okay. You know, yeah. like, and you could tell that she was always keeping tabs on him, kind of like out the corner of her eye, like, well, mm-hmm. what you got going over there? And she slipped. She definitely slipped.
She slipped. It fell. Yeah. It happens. She said, he's making his jokes. You know, they're scamming together. I guess that's another layer. I call mm-hmm. them coworkers, but they definitely. Are both in this big plot about these about the credit card fraud. She is stealing the credit cards and he is flipping them and giving her part of the profit, you know. And so there's a lot of, you know, comfortability there. But also, like you said, some heavy flirting. And then once the relationship with Cliff is over, it's very clear that they are ready to make their move. Maurice mm-hmm. and Shauna hook up. And it looks like they might be a thing. However, she starts mm-hmm. to go through and he is nowhere to be found because he does get arrested. Mari, this is the part of seducing and scheming they don't talk about.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get caught. And this man's
scheme lockup. I don't know what there's nothing with an S.
Right. Like seduce, scheme, slammer. You know,
solitary.
Solitary, right. This man is in jail. And so while Mia's mm-hmm. going through, this is what the moment that pushes her back to Cliff. She can't get in touch with Maurice. So she starts sending like the you up text to Cliff because she just needs a friend, right? She's mm-hmm. starting to ruin a lot of aspects of the things she's working on, right? And mm-hmm. so she just needs somebody to lean on. I'm sorry, Shauna. I keep saying Mia. But she just needs somebody to talk to. And that's how she ends up falling back into the arms of Cliff in a way, right? We don't see them link mm-hmm. up, but we know it's coming because this is how Issa do us. But that being said, Maurice went to jail. Mm-hmm. And because he went to jail due to some fraudulent actions, his accomplices are probably next. Mari, by the finale, we actually see the cops roll up on Shauna in her place of business because she just happens to be chilling there. And they go to arrest her, or at least that's what it seems.
On the day off.
Right. The job you're stealing mm-hmm. from. I mean, don't get wrong, she's not stealing from the job, but you return to the scene of crime, lady. What are you doing? that being said, the cops are on her ass. Mari, this is going mm-hmm. to be what I assume is a big plot point in season two. What do you think happens from here?
Right, because we all know, like, in like real time, City Girls, like JT was arrested and went to jail.
Yeah.
And they're like she gonna be in there for at least 2 years. And I just remembered, like, they were like, okay, Carisha had to keep like the group's visibility up while JT was in jail, and luckily, like, JT got a lot of free JT press here, free JT press there. But like, again, this is in real life. Carisha would go to the award shows and stuff, and she didn't do too well by herself, but it's okay because they were able to weather the storm. I think JT even made music in jail at some point, but whatever. JT comes out and they're like, the City Girls take off. So I don't know if I'm wondering if we'll get like a because I looked at the trailer for season two, so it does seem, I looked at like, I think I saw a teaser trailer, so it might not have been that much. But like, I do think we do get some shots where like Shauna isn't in jail. So I don't know if like we'll get like a 15 months later type thing, or you know, maybe we'll get some stuff about them, like them, like taking off and then her going to jail and being in jail for like most of the season. And you know what I'm saying? So it has to be a plot point. Like, I really, really want to see what they do, and how they do that. I'm actually very much looking forward to that. I want to see if it'll imitate life, because this is the part of the City Girls like saga, like a real life City Girls saga that I actually know. So I want to know what happens with that.
I do think this is where mainstream fans meet the City Girls. I think we meet them in a place where JT is already locked up. And we have Carisha out here really pubbing the music. She's out here at the clubs. I read somewhere that she would pay and DJs $20 to just play the song, right? And she would say, she said some crazy things. She did. But because she's such a like charismatic person and her personality is so infectious, a lot of the crazy stuff that Carisha said, it took off, you know. Like, we forget that flued out wasn't a thing before she said it, you know. That is not a thing. And then all of a sudden, look, everybody say flued out like it's normal now.
We've said it 80 million times across all of our podcasts.
Right. And I'd be forgetting, where did that come from? She created flued out, you know, with a T. Period. You know, that's, you know, and that's all Carisha's impact. But that happens while JT is in jail, and JT being the stronger rapper, Carisha really has to put the team on her back. And so I'm wondering if we will see this world where Mia has to put the team on her back, because we know she is not the lyricist that Shauna is. She might not even be a rapper at all. We've seen that she's able to come up with some good hooks in this show, but all the lyrics are going through Shauna. And so with her being in jail potentially, I think, like you said, JT got 24 months in jail. If we got a decent little, you know, identity theft time jump where she's in jail for a few months and then we hop in like toward the end of her sentence, that would be great, because then we can see what it looks like when Mia is the face and the voice of whatever this duo is going to be called. And you know, what it looks like when Shauna is released and has to then join a group that might already be established, you know, now that she's been gone. Mari, that's something I did notice. Does this group not have a name?
That's what I was just about to say. I was like, I don't think they do. Like, even at the club, when they're at the club and they play their song, they're like, oh, Seducing Scheme in the house. I'm like, I don't think that's the name.
That's not
what
they called. No, that's what we call them, because we don't know what else to call them. Seducing
exactly.
Schema probably ain't a horrible name. One is Seductress, one is a Schema, but I think they both kind of a little bit of both. So I don't think there's a horrible name, but they don't have one to this point. And probably for good reason, because they are not a cohesive rap group just yet. Although we know that Mia has the vision, right? Mia has the vision of, we are going to be the City Girls. We're going to promote these things that make us feel happy, this money, these interactions with these men, these, you know, these lavish lifestyles, you know, having a good time with the girls. That's what she wants to promote. But Shauna is not all in on that, Mari. We see that there is a scene where they are supposed to go perform and promote their album, or their song, I guess, their songs at this point. They have two singles, I believe. And they're promoting. Chastity had done the work to get them in the room. But when the bright lights are on Shauna and it's time for her to be a City Girl, she kind of still wants people to take her seriously as a rapper and as a as a wordsmith. And she decides to get on her platform and talk her shit. You know, she very much reminds people that she does this, that she is the conscious rapper, that she has a backpack. It's in the trunk, but she got it, you know. And this does not go well. One, this is not the crowd. The crowd did not want to hear that. They did not come here for that. They didn't sign up for that. But then two, she left Mia out to dry and she embarrassed them. And so the group essentially breaks up for a little bit before connecting again with Raina Rain and in order to now move forward in their career. But there are rocky waters. Mari, what do you think about this two as a duo and the future of the duo, you know, moving forward into season two?
I just think they need each other. They clearly need each other, right? Shauna is so embarrassing. So when she
embarrassing
when she decides to do her, like they said, she, it sounds like she's saying I'm better than you. Whenever she does her conscientious rap, it's like, it sounds like she's saying I'm better than all of this. And nobody really wants to hear that, you know? You have to tell it to them in a different way. And Mia might not be a good lyricist, but she's one of her jobs is she's a makeup artist. And so she knows, she's tapped into the aesthetic of what people like on social media. She, like you said, she's an influencer. She knows what'll get the traction, what'll get the eyes on you and everything like that. And they need each other because Shauna has the music, Mia has the mind behind the aesthetic and the brand. And without each other, we see that they're not cohesive enough to get anything done. And I still can't believe she thought that was okay, but you know what?
You know, okay. It's bad because we're always pushed this image of the ratchet rapper, the twerker, the party girl, the city girl. Like, that's supposed to be embarrassing, right? We're supposed to hold ourselves to a higher standard and all this other stuff. And that's supposed to be something like, that's the stuff Cliff is ashamed of, right? But I've never been more embarrassed than when I saw Shauna up there rapping at that club doing that. You know, it's like, it's so weird because you want us to be embarrassed by this, but girl, I've never, you take that damn mask off too. That's embarrassing as well. You know, they're just saying there are different ways for you to look at this, but you're 100% correct. They need each other and they need each other a lot because Shauna potentially is going to jail. That's one thing we can say Mia is not. She is not a criminal. Not to our knowledge, you know. No. And so, right as of now, she's the one on the straight and narrow, and Shauna, the conscious one, the one who is better than everybody, the one who went to college, the one with the lawyer boyfriend, might need him to get her out of jail very quickly. Yeah. So there's potential for us to see a lot of that moving forward. We get some other characters, of course. We get Fatima, who is Cliff's classmate, who we know is trying to holler at him. He does admit that. He doesn't. I don't know if they ever get together, but I'm sure we'll see more of that moving forward. We also see one of our old faves from Insecure, Dominique Perry, as Nelly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's my girl. I was like, hey. Yeah. Tasha back, and she's in the crew as well.
I think she plays a girl. She plays Alicia or something like that. It's two of Mia's friends, and they are like the bad influences. Like, I'm sorry, they're the bad influence.
They're my favorite. Because they Mia's homegirls, and they're like, well, they're just like, why are you letting Shauna take our friend away? You know, they think that they could go do city girl antics without Shauna. You know, And they're not wrong, but at the same time, there's no rap music without Shauna, you know? Mia just doesn't have that skill. And so in order to keep this whole thing going, I think the whole crew needs to get behind it. But yeah, we see Brittany Jefferson as Alicia and Dominique Perry as Nelly. And then, of course, Jill. Jill is Shauna's college friend who works at Spotify, who ends up putting them on and getting them, like, she ends up trying to put them on and getting their playlist on Spotify. It's actually another guy who does it, but she's like trying to piggyback. Like, I know her in real life, I promise.
Okay. I side-eyed Jill a little bit.
They're like, okay, what new up-and-coming artists do you know? And she's like, I don't know nobody. That man said, oh, I know these two city girls. She's like, I know them. It's like, all right, well, where was that energy
2 seconds ago?
And the last character I want to highlight is Lamont. This is Lamont, played by RJ. Is it Siler?
I think that. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Sorry, RJ.
RJ. Though. This guy is awesome. Every time I see him in a role, I highly appreciate him. Yeah, he's so good. You might have seen him in The Harder They Fall. That's one of my favorite roles from him. He was Blue Ranger and Power Rangers for those who might have been paying attention. I think he was in Scream as well, one of the Screams. But all that to say, this is Mia's baby daddy. And RJ is trying to work his way back into Mia's life to be a more active father. He is very much a producer as well. And so we'll see him overlapping with their careers because he does help them modify their sound a little bit so that they can get some of the popular radio play that they're getting. But him and Mia have an interesting relationship because, like the baby mama and baby daddy relationships that I know, they backslide a little bit. And there's definitely some backsliding in this season. And it does look like Lamont might be getting his family back. You know, he might be getting his baby girl and his baby mama and having that back for a second until we see that Mia comes across. Is it another rapper, Mario?
Yeah, this Cash.
Yeah, Cash.
I forget his last name. It's something. Cash or Russian. No, I'm saying it's like something so stupid, like Cash Currency or something like that.
Yeah. She comes across Cash and it's not great for RJ's character, Lamont, because
this would have worked. This would have worked on me.
Right. This works for her for sure. Because Mia's looking for a baller. I could just start reading off City Girl lyrics and tell you exactly what she wants. And this is him. He shows up personified and just enough time to scoop up Mia as she's about to fall into the arms of her baby daddy again. And so I'm sure we will get, Chaser the Goat. That's his name. You got to say the whole thing.
Cash Chaser the Goat. Yeah.
But Cash is there. He's Cash Chaser the Goat. He's got the money. He's got the image. And this is exactly what Mia has been thinking about that she likes. Mm-hmm. This is kind of her vibe. And so she decides to end the relationship with her and Lamont once and for all. But remember, Lamont is a producer. And so I definitely think we could see a lot more of him moving forward.
Yeah.
This is another potential love triangle that we have here on Rap Shit. Mari, what do you think about this storyline with Mia, Cash Chaser the Goat, and Lamont?
I love it. I love it because Lamont isn't automatically portrayed as a bad guy. Cause you know, some people are like, oh my God, why are they always portray the baby daddy as a bad guy? It's like, you don't feel like he's a bad guy. You just feel like he's so preoccupied on trying to provide money for them. They're in that same profession. And I love how we get a behind the scenes look at how he's a producer and he's trying to grind and he's kind of giving beats to people for free and he's not seeing the money and he has to chase people to get his money. And then he only gets his money and now he can show me look, I did it, you know, it wasn't on time, but he was able to do it. And it's so you're rooting for him too in a way. But you feel for Mia because there's one episode in the middle of the season, I think it was episode 3, episode 4, which I believe was written by Kid Fury. It was whichever episode that Kid Fury wrote that was oh my God, it was so good, where Mia just kind of breaks down and she's just I can't do this. Being a single mom, it's so hard. And she's you're not here day to day. You're not here. I have to do this. I have to do that. That breakdown was so real. That shit hit me because it is hard. Being a mom is hard when you have somebody here to support you, let alone when you don't. And I loved all of the emotion that Mia put into that scene, while again not making me feel like Lamont is the bad guy. You know what I'm saying? I still don't come away from this season thinking that Lamont is a horrible person and he's a deadbeat. I still again come away from this season thinking capitalism is the absolute worst. And they are trying to make it work. You know, he is actively trying to make it work. And it's just unfortunate that they're that it's not working. But I don't see it going away. I don't see him going away. I really want more of their dynamic, a little bit more. I want to see him win too. You know what I'm saying? He's another person that I'm rooting for. I want to see him make it big in the business as well. So it's fascinating. I love how they weave all of these characters together.
They do a really good job. And everybody's storyline is so intertwined. We have the love triangle with Cliff, who is a lawyer who might need to get his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend out of jail because she's been scamming with her coworker, who she also has been now having a relationship with somewhat. Mm-hmm. So that's intertwined. Chastity is the pimp, but also the manager. And so there's some seducing and scheming going on there as well. And then of course you have Mia, who is the rapper with the baby daddy, who is the producer, and who she is now moving on to another rapper. And all these people's paths can collide, and I'm sure they will in season 2. But that's season one for you, Mari. Is there anything we missed? Anything else we need to talk about before we get into season two?
Yes, I want to just talk one more thing as somebody who talks about production and aesthetic on my other podcast. I just want to say that Rap Shit is so great with its use of social media and social media clips and how like using that as the window to this world. You know what I mean? In the very first episode in the pilot, they use social media as a way to kind of introduce the characters and where they are now. You know, Shauna looking up people on her Instagram and then going to their pictures, going to their lives and stuff like that, using the lives as like portals to the world. It reminds me kind of like when you guys were talking about like Missing on Nothing But Netflix. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a really good job of emphasizing how social media plays a huge part in the entertainment industry now. And it's kind of funny because even a year later, it's even more apparent. Like we said, we're in an era where female rappers, it's like a boon right now. And the main thing that's, you know, producing it is because social media, like a female rapper's song gets played on social media, it goes viral, and the next thing you know, they're performing at the BET Awards. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the current situation we are living in. And it's so interesting to me that Rap Shit like they got it, like they completely understood what's happening in the industry and showing us how the industry kind of has changed in a way now that social media is influencing it.
No, I totally agree. This is such an interesting way to look at a television series. We saw a little bit of like that in The Swarm, or is it Swarm?
Yeah, Swarm.
The Swarms. But yeah, when you and Latanya talk about Swarm, you know, a lot of that was told through the cell phone, you know, and the text messages, and you know, there were Twitter posts and stuff like that, Instagram posts that we were reading, and Rap Shit does a great job of that. I think Issa Rae is a generational talent, and I think she's going to continue to give us great shows with compelling storylines and you know, interesting characters moving forward. And so I'm very excited to talk about this. I'm very excited to talk about season two. Mari, I think they're gonna drop one episode. They might drop two this week coming up. And so if they drop the first two episodes, we will talk about the first episode, the first two episodes together. Whatever drops this week, we will talk about, and then we will just move on episodically. Hopefully Latanya will have time to join us. Maybe we can get a guest or something on too, depending on who all is watching the show. But if you're listening to this, please subscribe to the Connect on PSR, the Connect on Poster Recap, the PSR Connect, whatever you want to call it. Go and subscribe to us and try to keep up with all the positive Black stuff that we're doing here, because we got the green light on this and we got the green light on a bunch of other stuff too. And so we're going to try to keep the PSR Connect feed fed with a bunch of good quality content moving forward. But until then, Mari, if you could, please tell people where to find you until they next hear from us talking about Rap Shit Season 2.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter. Yeah, that's what his mama named him. That's what I'm going to call him.
That's what I'm going to call him.
at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. You can find me over on the Rob Has a Podcast Network on doing the Wrestling Wrap Up every week with Matt Scott by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. Or you can go listen to me and Sarah Carradine talk about true crime over on the Crime Scene Podcast by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. Chappelle, what about you? Where can the people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter as well. I really thought I was going to be able to avoid the X allegations, but I looked up today and my app definitely got an X on it now. Yeah. They got me. I was holding strong. But yeah, follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. Follow me on Instagram at ChappelleTNT. And let me know what it is that you want to hear us talk about here on the PSR Connect, because we got a lot of space. We got time and we got some, you know, loyal listeners who probably have some good ideas for what Mari and I can do in the future. Obviously, if you want to reach out to me about my other works, you can catch me on Rob Has a Podcast talking about Netflix shows every week. And so on Nothing But Netflix, Rob and I have been covering whatever the top of the line show is. And recently we had our very own Mari here as our guest to talk about, Yes, Deepfake Love, a reality show about, like, listen, y'all, if y'all don't listen to nothing but Netflix, let me just tell y'all, go listen to us talk about Deepfake Love, because it's a show where they use AI technology to give you images of your partner cheating, and then you have to determine if that person is cheating or not, and sometimes they be cheating, and you gotta watch it. and that's not even how you win. You win by guessing. If you guess right, you win. You don't even win by not getting cheated on. It's wild. Go check that out. Mario was our guest. We had such a good time over on Rob Has a Podcast and on Nothing But Netflix. So if you have any suggestions for that, tweet at Nothing But RHAP and let them know what you want to hear us talk about over there. I'm also on Rob Has a Podcast talking about Below Deck with Sasha Joseph. We are on Below Deck Down Under, and we are talking about episodes 3 and 4, 4 and 5, I think, this week. And so check that out. And then also check out Sasha and I on our other podcast, on Silent Podcast. We're talking about Never Have I Ever. So you can go to subscribe to Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast to catch our coverage of the final season of Never Have I Ever. We're doing 2 episodes at a time, so we're almost done with season 4. And then on Rob Has a Podcast, the last thing I'm doing is talking about Big Brother. I will be on the premiere recap for Big Brother 25. This is a momentous occasion for Big Brother, the 25th season, but it's only the 25th season, and I will be joining Rob and Taryn and Melissa to talk about this new season of Crazy House Guest and all the twists and turns that Big Brother has to offer. And so again, follow me on Twitter, follow at Rob Has a Podcast, follow at Nothing But RJP, and follow Silent at Silent Podcast to keep up with all of that. But that's it, Mari, we did it. Season 1 is a wrap.
Yes, season 1 is a wrap. Season 2 is just begun.
And season 2 is just getting started. We will be back here on Post Show Recaps to talk about that. But in the meantime, until then, for Mari, for LaTanya, and for myself, we will talk to you all later. Peace.